This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 19th, 2024, Pentecost Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Pentecost Sunday. Very dramatic. Oh, mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, all these things that are part and parcel of Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in ours. It's great to hear about all those things, contemplate them as we should, but every now and then we should step back and just appreciate. And when I say that, it's a gross understatement to appreciate Pentecost. Because at Pentecost, something tremendously different occurred. We see the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, God Almighty Himself, come down and just not alight on the disciples, but dwell within them. I say sometimes there's a lot of things we can't get our heads around. Even to try to contemplate the fact that the one whom the universe cannot contain is dwelling in the body of every baptized Christian, every single one of them. They are the tabernacle of God Almighty Himself, thus says St. Paul. Again, to say that you appreciate that God lives in you is something that we just cannot fathom. But we need to start. And it starts by actually acting like God Almighty lives within you. This is what we should appreciate, if you want to use that term. You're here because of the Holy Spirit. Why do you go to church? Well, because I believe in Jesus. You believe in Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. The reason you're here is that. Okay? There is no other reason why you're here. The Holy Spirit and His indwelling. It's not everybody. You know, we love to live in this egalitarian world. Everybody's a child of God. Well, from a creative sense, they are. Everybody is a child of God, like cows and cats. They're creations of God also. But nonetheless, everybody's a child of God. From a creative sense, yes, true, but He does not indwell everyone. He indwells those who have been baptized into the Christian faith. Them and them alone. And again, as I always point out when we go here, this is not triumphalism. This is something that you should be on your face before Almighty God constantly. The fact that everything that you believe comes from the Holy Spirit. This is how important it is because he's always been there in my heart. No, he wasn't. He wasn't there when you were born because the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, says that you were born dead in trespasses and sins. The Holy Spirit does not live in a tomb. You have to be regenerate for the Holy Spirit to indwell you, made alive again. This is when stuff starts. This is not a New Testament thing. This is not a after Pentecost thing. This is an Old Testament thing. Ezekiel chapter 37. Not a whole lot of Old Testament passages are familiar to people, but this one is one of the more frequently, and it is dramatic. The Valley of Dry Bones. There's a Valley of Dry Bones. They're just bones, just dead, just laying around. And the scriptures say, I will give you my Spirit, and you shall live. You shall know that I am God. Not just give you life. I will come into you and you shall know that I am God. People that don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't know the true and living God. This is why you look at other religions where baptism is not a thing, and, well, they pray to the same God. No, they don't. They don't know God. They don't know God because they don't know Jesus Christ, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. It teaches about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself says that if you don't know me, you don't believe in me, you don't believe in the one who sent me. That's the Father. This is the reality of the Holy Spirit. He makes us alive, and not just to make us alive just because, but to believe in God and then to advance his kingdom in this world. Again, this is Old Testament stuff. There's a psalm that was written for the, because there's a proper vigil mass for the Pentecost, but there's a psalm that is the common thread through both of the masses at the vigil and today. Psalm 104. Thou shalt send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit renews us at our baptism. We, at our baptism, it's just not a symbol of being washed of sin. We are truly objectively cleansed of any original sin or any actual sins that we have committed. And the Holy Spirit is infused to us. He's not there before. This is a reality of our faith. This is why you should be appreciative of the one that dwells within you. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Notice he doesn't say can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. He says can't see the kingdom of heaven. They can have their human natural religion concepts of what heaven and or what the man upstairs or he's in a better place kind of thing, all that nonsense that you hear, and unfortunately from some Catholics. But we need to understand that our Lord said, if you're not renewed, you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven, much less inherit it. This is our Lord. And how does he say to Nicodemus that you are born again? By water and the Holy Spirit. Those are the ways we're born again. This is how you start to see heaven. It starts at our baptism, but that's the start. We can start to see it. Then it is up to us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and actually get there, to actually inherit that kingdom of heaven. There was something, as I said, in Pentecost and at our baptism that is apples and oranges different than the way the Holy Spirit worked beforehand. For instance, the gospel today, our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, stands in the room. He's come through a locked door, and he breathes on his apostles and says, receive the Holy Ghost. Why do they have to be a Pentecost then? Why do they have to be a Pentecost? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God, has breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, don't they have them already? Yes, they do, but not in the same way that will happen at Pentecost. Pentecost is a much more profound thing. This is the Holy Spirit's working when he indwells you. It is completely different than the way he works from the outside of you. This is the Holy Spirit. When we look at the way the Holy Spirit works, we all have to be individually, and the world has to be recreated, so to speak, by him. When we look at it's ongoing. It's ongoing. It's not a matter of, oh, I'm baptized, the Holy Spirit indwells in me, I'm good. Yeah, you're better. You're not good yet. You have to cooperate with that Holy Spirit that's been infused into you. Then you get better and better and better. And then when our Lord Jesus Christ looks at you at the judgment and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's when you know you're good. And the Holy Spirit tries to get you there. But we got to help. The Holy Spirit, when he enters, St. Ambrose kind of touches it, but he gives the concept. He says, when you look at creation, God speaks, and there's the waters and of the creation, the firmament, and all that. Oh, yeah, and everything was really good. No, it wasn't. No, it was not. It was chaos. The waters were in chaos, and the Holy Spirit comes out and overshadows the waters and brings order and beauty to creation. And then the rest of creation, God finally sets back after it's all done and looks at it and says, this is very good. And now when the perfect God looks at something and says it's very good, that's pretty good. That we would use that term perfect. Everything is as it should be. It's beautiful. It's orderly. Everything is as it should be because of the graces of the hovering over the waters, the Holy Spirit. And then sin and that separation between the created order and the Holy Spirit. When I say separation, I mean it doesn't go away completely. Never does. Just like God doesn't go away. Adam and Eve separated themselves from God and he went searching for Adam in the garden. Adam, where are you? Then we have the rest of that story. But the separation of the created order from God and the graces, the flow, because that's really where the crank came. That's where the severing came. Not God's presence, but the graces that flow through him. These are, in the absence of the Holy Spirit, why God's, from now on, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow and thorns and thistles are going to come out of there. There was ugliness in disorder. Entered the equation. The second law of thermodynamics, everything goes from order to disorder. That started at the fall. It was not supposed to be that way. Everything was always supposed to be beautiful and orderly, and in the absence of God's grace, because of the actions of his creatures, make it impossible for everything to be beautiful and orderly anymore. And as we've seen society and even in the church, the disorder and the ugliness that has occurred and continues to occur and will get worse. Because why? Because people are quenching the Holy Spirit. Talk about Psalm 104 before, and that the verse that is throughout the Pentecost readings. Thou shalt send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Very positive. And then a few verses later, it says, and you will take away your spirit, and they will fail, and they will return to their dust again. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit and his graces are quenched. This is not a matter of stepping back and going, he's God, he can do anything you want. I can't keep God from doing something. You can't keep God from doing anything, but you cannot cooperate with him. And if you look at his whole renewing of our souls, we constantly got this a redoing of a house kind of thing going on within ourselves. When we look at it, the Holy Spirit is the foreman, so to speak, of the reno. He's the foreman, and he goes, here's the plans, here's what you need to do, and here's all the materials. And if the person goes, yeah, great, I'm not going to do anything, though. And the foreman goes, well, I've given you everything that you need to do this, but I'm not going to do it for you. You need to take the materials and the plans, and you need to work this out. And now I'm not going to do it. What's going to get done? Nothing. The same thing applies to us in our spirits. That spiritual reno. He gives us the plan. That's called the will of God that we find in the deposit of the faith. And he gives us all the materials we need to do it, the graces. But if we don't use them, nothing will get done. That's what we mean by quenching the Holy Spirit. We can tell when we're cooperating with him. When we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we are living lives as resurrected people. I don't mean, well, we're resurrected when we're dead. I'm talking about that being moved from the darkness of death and sin into the marvelous light of faith. The resurrected life starts by just that, faith, believing in what our Lord has presented to us, believing in what he says. Why on earth do people believe that when a priest says certain words, that bread and wine turn into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's ridiculous. It is from a reason standpoint, from a rational standpoint, it is absolutely absurd. Look at it, goof. It's bread and wine. But we who have the Holy Spirit should go to our deaths for the truth that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God Almighty himself. Why do you believe that? Because you figured it out? You read a book? No, you believe it because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to that truth. Why do we believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? That's ridiculous. Just, if there's a God, he's just one. And that's it. That's easy to explain. This whole one thing, most two-year-olds know what one is. But when God presents himself as one and three and one, all of a sudden the concept, I can't get that. You're not supposed to, because he's God. This is why he presents mysteries to us. We have faith in that mystery because this is the way he's presented himself. Our Lord Jesus, go therefore and baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't get it. You're not supposed to. He's God. You're not. Be good with that. That's called faith. And you have it because of the Holy Spirit. And we need to strengthen that. Why do we live a theocentric life? Theocentric, God-centered. Why do we believe that we need to live a whole lot different than the pagans out there? Why do we live? Why do I use terms like that, pagans and heathens? Because that's what they are. They are godless. They're not baptized. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So they're not going to live theocentric lives. We, on the other hand, who do have the Holy Spirit, are supposed to live a theocentric life centered on God. That's why I get up here and I say, fornication is evil. Cohabitation's evil. Contraception's evil. What? Everybody does. Everybody who quenches the Holy Spirit believes that those things are okay. That whole hyphenated Catholic thing. Hyphenated Catholicism is quenching the Holy Spirit. You play your salad bar Catholicism. I believe everything but this. Sometimes it's one of those things I mention. Sometimes it's like, I don't believe you have to go to confession. I believe everything else but this. If you don't believe one thing, you don't believe any. I just said I believe all the other stuff. No, you don't, because you've just demonstrated yourself to be the arbiter of what is truth. Because the Holy Spirit has said, these are the truths of the Catholic faith. And I say, no, I decide that that's not the truth. You've made yourself God. You say you are smarter than the Holy Ghost that has presented this deposit of the faith to us. Because that is what is quenching the Holy Spirit, is contempt for the deposit of the faith. In any of its aspects, trying to change the deposit of the faith is quenching the Holy Spirit. To say the church believes one thing one day, but oh no, it's okay to do this now. Or these people who do not have the Holy Spirit and we need to evangelize them. No, don't evangelize them because they're okay, because they claim to be an ethnicity. They claim to be children of Abraham. Meaningless. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, meaningless to claim to be a child of Abraham. You need the Holy Spirit. And what does our Lord Jesus Christ say the Holy Spirit's going to do? Talk of him. This is why the Holy Spirit's always on the down low. He wants to be on the down low. That's what he does. He points everybody to Jesus because we need Jesus as our Savior. This is why we should appreciate so much his presence. But as I said before, this is why we need to act like he's present. This is sort of disturbing that when he's present, he's not really, like I just said, he's on the down low. When he's active in our lives, people really don't notice that. We're just good Catholics. When he's absent, it's glaring, particularly when it happens within the church. And if you guys talked before about the pagans and heathens that don't have the Holy Spirit, that's a sad state. That's a sad state that they do not see the kingdom of heaven according to our Lord Jesus Christ. What is even more sad is people that do have the Holy Spirit because of their baptism, and they quench him. They quench him by ignorance and apathy toward their faith. And sometimes they quench him overtly. I don't care anymore. I'm not going to confession. I'm not going to receive the Eucharist. I'm not going to go to Mass. You don't have that. I wonder if I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. That's an easy answer on that one. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. The more subtle things, when we feel dryness, when we feel that we're not praying as we should, and we're never praying as we should, it can always be better. But at the end of the day, when I fell asleep saying my rosary, so I'm not going to say them anymore, because that's quenching the Holy Spirit also. Maybe not up as overtly as these other things, but the same thing. You start not using the stuff that he gives you to build yourself up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is very glaringly obvious when the Holy Spirit is being quenched, particularly from my perspective. And I deal with it frequently, and it's sad. But it's not hopeless, because I've said earlier, the Holy Spirit's job, so to speak, is to constantly renew us, constantly regenerate us in it. So, you know, yeah, I haven't been to Mass for 25 years. Been there. I haven't been to Mass for 25 years. Might want to go back. Start from this point. This is the first day of the rest of your life. He's there to fix things. It's called the confessional. You know, the gospel today, kind of really interesting. I said before about our Lord breathing on the... He needed the apostles to have some presence of the Holy Spirit to do something. What was that something? He breathes on his apostles. He says, receive the Holy Ghost. Now go preach really well. Now go make converts. Nope. He does not say that. He breathes on them and he says, whoever sins you will remit, they will be remitted. Whoever sins you will retain, they will be retained. He set them up to hear confessions. That's what he set them up for with the Holy Spirit. So confession is huge. Before they even have the indwelling Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit so you can hear confessions. In a nutshell, this is what our Lord wanted. This is how important the confessional is. This is where renewal starts. This is where we take the plans and we take the materials and go, yeah, I haven't been using them for the past 30 years, but I'm going to start now. Great. Let's get on it. Got a lot of work to do. Every time we go in there, got a lot of work to do. That's what he does. This is that renewal thing. This is the Holy Spirit. Always remember, we got to watch out. We're not this, we're not that. You are so extremely special to the Father because his Holy Spirit indwells you. If you put yourself in a position where you particularly are overtly quenching him, you're grieving him. That does not mean that the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, sits there wringing his hands, going, oh, I wish so-and-so would do this because he's grieving me and making me sad. You are making him sad, if you want to use human terminology. But guess what? There will be a reckoning for that. There will be a reckoning for not doing what he wants us to do, for not assisting in our own regeneration. This is what we do. And the Holy Spirit's presence is not for everybody. Consider yourself very special. We heard the Veni Sancte Spiritus today. And that's why this Mass is indulgence, plenary indulgence, under the normal conditions. Take that ball and run with it. It's one of those things the Holy Spirit gives us. But in the Veni Sancte Spiritus, come Holy Spirit and fill the hearts of everybody. No. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and kindle in them the fire of thy love. This is how special you are. The Holy Spirit is ever enkindling that love of our Lord Jesus Christ in each and every one of us, if we're not quenching him. And how do we know that we're not quenching him? Is if we're living our faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.